So, Bob, you just have a new book published. What is the title of this?
It's called Footprints, The Evolution of Land Conservation and Reclamation in Alberta. And I co-authored that with Graham Chandler and Peter McKenzie Brown. They're both Calgary-based writers with a lot of background in energy and history.
Now, I noticed when I was looking through the book, because you have it published as an ebook, that there were an awful lot of people involved in this. Can you give me an idea of the range of people who were involved in this project?
Well, it originated with a group of current and retired practitioners from government and industry. And they actually began this around 2010. Because they wanted to mark the 50th anniversary of Alberta's first reclamation legislation, which was passed in 1963. So they had hoped to do something by 2013. And the further they got into it, the more complex producing this story became. And they realized they would need professional help. And they contacted Charlene Dobmeier, who's a former book publisher with Fifth House, and she now has her own company basically packaging historical and technical books.
So this essentially is a history of reclamation in Alberta, is that correct?
Yes. And, well, we also mentioned conservation because ideally, you don't disturb the site in the first place, and you conserve all the values of the land.
So this really takes us from the period of when the legislation was passed, 1963, you said, up to 2013?
Well, right up to the present, actually. We have a final chapter which describes the present situation and offers some of the collective wisdom that we pieced together about where we should be going.
So with over 250 pages, it sounds like there's an awful lot to say about land reclamation and conservation.
Well, there's general principles, of which the foremost is preserving the soil. The soil is just an incredibly valuable resource, and one of the big steps in this story is the progressive movements, especially since 1983, to save topsoil. If you look at a construction project or a pipeline or something these days, you will see different stockpiles of soil next to the site, and one of those is the topsoil. And that is just teeming with life. If you looked at it under a microscope, you would be amazed at how much happens in the top 30 centimeters of the earth beneath us.
What would be the types of reclamation, the industries that you'd be dealing with?
Well, the big holes in the ground are the coal mines, the oil sands mines, and the sand and gravel pits. And of those, I think the most progress has been made on the coal mines. They were high visibility in the 70s and got a lot of attention. And that's important because now it looks like, you know, we may actually be phasing out coal-fired power. So reclaiming those 30,000 hectares of coal mines is going to become a priority, and it's going to have to be accelerated. Whereas the oil sands mines, they expect to be operating for a long time, and they're in an earlier stage of reclamation.
Well, you also mentioned something about pipelines. So does this also cover reclamation, looking at pipelines and forestry logging?
Well, now, forestry is different. Forestry is a renewable use. And the foresters, really since the 1950s, have been reforesting the sites that they clear. And they're leaving the soil there. And they've gotten better at reclaiming their roads and things. So forestry is not a reclamation concern in the same sense. A better example is the well sites. I mean, there have been 450,000 wells drilled in Alberta, and over half of them are still in some sort of operation. And we've only, you know, certified the reclamation of, you know, about 100,000 of those.
So if we go back to 1963, when the legislation for reclamation was first introduced, what was the motivation at the time? What led to the development of the legislation by the government of the day?
Well, as you know, 1947, the Leduc discovery marked the beginning of the modern oil era in Alberta. And in the 50s, there was just a huge explosion of drilling around the province. And the farmers became increasingly concerned about the state of their land after the drill rig departed. And in those days, of course, a lot of dry holes were drilled. So there were a lot of these sites. And the Manning government realized that they would have to do something about all these angry farmers. So the first act in 1963 only applied to what was called the surveyed lands, which is basically the settled areas of the province, the white area. And the requirement was really very simple. Leave it clean and in a state where it can be farmed again. And that would be determined by a provincial inspector and somebody from the local municipality or county. And it was a very subjective judgment, but you had local people involved, and that really got us started. Then in 1969, the same requirement was applied to the public lands, but there it would be the inspector or the person from, I think the department was then Lands and Forests.
So how have things changed since 1963 and where we're at today in terms of how we handle that soil and conduct reclamation?
Well, the next big change was in 1973 when the requirement came in to do environmental impact assessments of big projects. So the GCOS, the first oil sands operation, did not have an environmental impact assessment before it was done. But Syncrude and all the subsequent large projects like oil sands mines, coal mines, and big developments like an in-situ project, they all have to do environmental impact assessments, including a conceptual reclamation plan. And then in 1983, the requirement to conserve topsoil was formalized in legislation, and so was the requirement to do remediation, which is cleaning up the contamination on the site. And we also, in the 80s, started looking at avoiding the mixing of soils. So now when they do a pipeline, they might strip two or three different layers of soil. So you have that nice topsoil in one pile, and then you have the next layer of subsoil. And if there's a third one with a lot of salt in it, for example, the sodic soils, they will be stockpiled in a third pile. And that prevents getting those salts into the mixed in with the topsoil.
There's an incredible amount of science that goes into soil reclamation. Can you speak to that a little bit?
As somebody was saying, it's all done meter by meter. Before a project begins, they do soil sampling to determine what's there so that they know if, you know, there's a salt layer or how deep the topsoil is. And that's really important. But all of this knowledge is still being developed. University of Alberta and the Alberta Research Council really were the big centers for the science behind all this. And others, including the Northern Alberta Institute of Technology and so on, have done a lot of good work. And that's been incorporated into the development 1970s might be a few hundred pages. Now some of them are thousands and thousands of pages.
So when you were putting this book together and going through the history, what really stands out for you? What comes to you as the message?
Well, the message is it can be done, that even extremely disturbed and extremely polluted sites, like some of the old sulfur pads, you remember those big yellow pads? Originally, they were just on the ground. Now they're all on cement pads. So some of those sites were very, very challenging to clean up. And we managed to do it, so we know it can be done. Or the mountain coal mines, they basically are reshaping the landscape. And yet, if you go to south of Hinton, to the old Cardinal River mine, it's a beautiful, beautiful lake surrounded by, you know, grass and trees and sheep, and it's just amazing what can be done. But it takes time and money and people and planning, and we're getting behind. Since the 90s, there was just this huge expansion of industry in Alberta. Two-thirds of the pipelines in Alberta were laid since 1990. You know, if you'll remember, during the 90s, the Klein government was actually cutting back on departments like environment and what became sustainable development and other departments. So as a result, there's this huge backlog of sites awaiting either reclamation or certification. So it's a big challenge. And right now, actually, with the slowdown of the commodities and oil and gas, there's an opportunity to catch up, but you've got to have money and people to do that. We've got the people, but where the money would come from, there are security payments and so on. But we sort of end by just saying that there's a lot of challenges out there, and it's going to be up to the next generation and the current and next governments how to deal with this.
So with this book and your history, how do you think this book could or should be used?
Well, we wrote it with many audiences in mind, but I think that the one that certainly closest to my heart was the next generation of students who are just entering post-secondary education. And this is a field that's going to be there for a long time, and we'll need, you know, everything from equipment operators to soil scientists and hydrologists and other very specialized consultants. I didn't mention native plants. One of the other big areas in Alberta has been the use of native species for revegetating sites. So there's nurseries now and consultants who just make sure that exactly the right species is planted on a disturbed site.
Well, Bob, it sounds like just a tremendous effort to get this underway. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.